For the reading of God's Word, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 7, or 9, sorry, and reading down through verse 18. I have been, because of things that are happening on in our extended family, I've been trying to spend some time reading and researching and thinking more about the idea of deconstructing one's faith. And I think this passage is at the core of what deconstruction is. So let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 through verse 18. And so this is the word of our Lord. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Antichicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we pray that even in this late hour of the day that you would keep our minds upon you. We pray that your Spirit would wield your word this afternoon and speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is a lot of talk about these days about Christians deconstructing their faith post-COVID. There is almost almost of epidemic proportions among contemporary Christian artists. A lot of them abandoned the faith and were saying they were deconstructing their faith. And there are all kinds of reasons given for abandoning the Christian faith. But Demas's example illustrates the core reason people leave Christianity. There's a lot of self-deception in the deconstruction movement, but at the core of deconstruction is love for this present age. A greater love for this present age than for the age to come. And if you're honest, this deconstruction is nothing new. The church has dealt with it for centuries. The Bible calls it by a different name. The construction in the Bible is called apostasy. And that's really what we're dealing with, is just that in today, this idea of apostasy is couched in terms that has more recently in the 20th century been proposed by Michel Foucault and Jacques Derrida with the reconstructionist philosophy. But the scripture is put in different terms, and I think it's always helpful to use biblical categories to talk about these issues. And apostasy is just that. It's a falling away from the faith. Let's look at Paul's situation as he wrote these words. Paul is in jail in Rome for the second time. I talked a little bit of Portuguese with Daniele, now words are coming wrong. So he was for the second time in jail. And this time, however, he's not in a jail cell. He's not in house arrest, but he's in a jail cell. For the first time, he was in house arrest, and he had some liberties, and people could come and go. But now he's actually in a dungeon. Nobody knows exactly where, but if you go to Rome, they have some idea of where that would be. and they can take you there. He has by this time appeared before the imperial tribunal. We see that in verse 16, and things are looking bleak for him. Now he refers to what he expects will happen to him in verse 6 of this chapter, where he says that he's ready to be poured as a drink offering, which is just a euphemistic way of saying that he's expecting to be beheaded soon. That's the pouring that he's talking about his life and ministry are coming to the end, and yet, as we read this passage, he still thinks about ways to minister, right? It says, bring Mark when you come, the same Mark that he refused to go on a missionary journey with and fought with Barnabas over him, says, now bringing him because he's still profitable for the ministry. There's just a few days left, a few weeks left in my life, perhaps, but I'd love to be able to work with Mark for a little longer that I might minister. We see that here that he was cold, so he asked Timothy to bring his cloak when he comes to visit him. First century jail is not like the county jail that Isaiah ministers in on Sundays. This is, you were in prison and you had to provide for yourself. And so he's cold and asks then Timothy to bring him a coat next time he sees Timothy. He also would love some reading and writing materials. Bring the books, especially the parchments. He wants to read and he wants to write. But Paul seems lonely. Crescens and Titus had to leave him. Tychicus also had to go away. Luke, however, is still close to him, his faithful friend, Luke. But what is weighing heavily in Paul's heart is Demas. So in verse 10, he says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica. Now, Demas at one point was Paul's fellow worker. In Philemon, verse 24, Paul calls him a fellow worker. Demas helped Paul proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a gospel worker alongside Paul. He seems to be from Colossae, since the city in the Lycus Valley close to Ephesus, since Paul includes him among those who greeted the church in Colossians 4:14. And now he's left. Paul says that he has forsaken him. Our translation says that Demas left Paul because he loved this present world. Literally, Paul says that Demas loved the now age. Not the word world is not used there. It's a word for age. And then the adverb now. Demas left because he loves the now age. He is so in love with that he is gone. And so this present world is not earth or the environment, but ideas and values that are consistent with this age, an age marked by the government of Satan. So to be in love with the now age is to be in love with an age that's characterized by the government of Satan. Throughout Paul's writings, that's how he refers to this time. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2, he refers to Satan as the prince of the power of the air. So not the out there skies, but these skies, this air. You can't see him, but he is the prince of the power of this air. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, he talks about our fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this age. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, he says that those that don't believe have their minds darkened by the God of this age. And that is the age that Demas loved more than he loved the age to come, the now age. And because of that, he left Paul. Paul says he forsook him. And this is not this forsaking, this leaving. It's not a departure to go serve the Lord somewhere else, like Crescens and Titus or Tychicus, or a temporary break. No, just not after some R&R. The verb here means to forsake, to abandon, to desert. And it is used by Jesus from the cross. When Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you utterly abandoned me? That is the same word used by Paul in 2 Timothy 4:10 to describe what Demas has done. It means utter abandonment. Demas deconstructed or apostatized because he loved the now age. And when you actually talk to somebody who's going through that, who is deconstructing, they may have all kinds of reasons. Abuse that has happened in church. Hell, the whole concept of hell, somebody else given, something else given as a reason. Guilt of sin is the being tired of feeling guilty as another reason. But when you start looking at all these reasons given, the common thread is that they saw something now that was more attractive to them than the age to come with Jesus Christ. Whatever reason is given, seems like the common thread is, you know what, I love this more than I want what's to come with Jesus Christ. And that's what's going on here. And that's why John exhorts us to be careful that we are not in love with this present age, which he calls the world. If you were able to turn to 1 John chapter 2, I would appreciate that. As John then explains how we Christians can prevent ourselves from falling in love with the now age and abandon the faith. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, the Apostle John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Now, John does use the word world or cosmos in this passage, but you can see that he's contrasted the cosmos with eternity. So he's using the world here in the same way as Paul uses the now age in 2 Timothy 4:10. So when John says don't love the world, he's teaching us don't love the now age. Don't love this age as characterized by a love, by the rule of Satan. So another way to talk about the love of the now age or this present world is to refer to it as worldliness. Don't be worldly minded. Don't be focused on the now age. And worldliness really is human nature without God. Don't behave, don't think, don't believe as if you existed without God. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, we are new creatures with a new nature and a new identity. And to love the now age is to act according to another identity, another nature that's not ours anymore. The Apostle Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's us. But there are vestiges of the old nature that we are still struggling to get rid of and are in the process of getting rid of in sanctification as we renew our minds, as we put off and put on what is consistent with the new nature. So instead of giving into a love for this present age, John exhorts us to do the will of God because that is more lasting than this world. And that's not attractive to a lot of people. We are to live in order to do the will of God, which includes death, dying to self, living for others and for God. And that tends to not be attractive to those that are struggling with abandoning their faith in Christ. And John tells us there are three areas that often present difficulty in not falling prey to the love of the world. There are three areas in which we struggle, that if we give in to them, we will fall prey to the world. And he says that in verse 16. The lusts or the desires of the flesh, that is, desires left over from our old sinful and fallen nature. The lusts or desires of the eyes, the temptations that assault us from the outside. And then the pride of life, the material life and the possessions, the love of money, the boasting about it, the now age, being loved with the now age. And to live with this current world in view is to live for something that is going to pass away. What God has given us is eternal and of much more value than the here and the now. And I am convinced as I read testimonies of people who deconstructed, as I listen and read what philosophers are saying, that deconstruction has become a popular thing because the church has forgotten heaven, where we are about the now. We have sermons that teach us how to live now. That's what Christians want. Give me the practical stuff that I know how to live now, when the focus is in the life to come, where we can only be of any good now if we are heavenly minded. We can only be of any good now if we are living a life that is consistent with the life to come. Jonathan Lehman, no related to the Lehmans because his is L-E-E, Lehman, says that we are to live as if we had traveled in time, because we are citizens of a different age who traveled in time back to the now age and are living lives and thinking thoughts and believing beliefs that are from then. And Peter gives us that same image when he talks about living a life of a sojourner, living a life as if this is not our world because we're going somewhere else. Deconstruction often happens because we're so attached to the now, and we are often not given a thorough alternative to the now, and that's heaven. That's even seen in the way that the church sings. Up to 1950, 98% of the songs sung in church were about heaven and the life to come. That has completely flipped around, where 2% of churches of songs sung in church today are about the heaven and the life to come. We're too focused on here. We're too focused on now. So if that's where the church is, why shouldn't the world be there too? Why be part of the church that's about now, not about the life to come? So might as well go drink, marry, and be happy, for tomorrow we die, and there's no difference between the world and the church. So brothers and sisters, if you want to be testimonies to those who are considering abandoning the faith, a lot of what has to happen is that we need to be excited about the life to come. We need to be excited about heaven. We need to be excited about seeing Jesus face to face in the resurrection. We need to be less concerned about worldly occupations and employments and duties and be more concerned about Jesus. And when we do that, then everything in this life becomes about that, moving towards Jesus. And that's what could be a winsome testimony to help those see that you don't have to deconstruct your faith, because the now age is not worth it. There is an age to come, and we're going there, and we're going to take you with us as we excite about Jesus. If that's not us, where are they going to find hope? Jesus came to take us to heaven, and we are just sojourning here till we get there. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you're good. We thank you that you called us to heaven. We thank you that we are in heavenly places with you. We pray that our lives will be now lived in light of our position. That we pray, Father, that we will be consumed with the life to come, and that that life would invade the now age and be a glorious testimony for you, for asking in Jesus' name. Amen.